If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss podcast powered by Riverland Roofing and featuring Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of Rebel Grove. Hello again, everybody, and welcome in, at least for me, Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. I write for Rebel Grove, rebelgrove.com, and affiliate of On Three. Sign up today for just $1. I'm inside the Riverland Roofing Studios, New Albany branch, Riverland Roofing. For all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. And with me today, Barstool's Ben Mintz. It's been a minute, Mincy. How we doing?
Man, I'm doing good. The Rebels play on Saturday night. I'm fired up to get this season going. I'm in the Barstool Chicago office. The energy in the office this week is popping because football season is here. And, man, just can't wait. Let's get it rolling. We've been waiting all summer. And just can't wait for kickoff.
What do you think? Is week one the official kickoff? Because there's a discourse out there. You know, a lot of people are like, no, week zero, this doesn't really count, man. Didn't really get much action on week one or week zero anyway. But week one, a loaded slate. Are you a week zero truther? Or do you think week one now really feels like it's getting started?
Week one feels like it's getting started. I mean, the Kansas State-Iowa State game was a real game. But, no, I mean, the Rebels start week one, so that's when I start.
That's right. Ole Miss and Georgia State on Saturday, 6:45 p.m. Central Time. On SEC Network, we're going to go through a lot of the games in the week one slate, a loaded week one slate, because Mincy knows the ins and outs, the overs and the unders and the spreads better than anybody, and that's why he joins me here on Talk of Champions to go through that. But first and foremost, again, you mentioned it, Ole Miss and Georgia State this weekend, opening of the Austin Simmons era. I think the last time I looked at an over-under for a win total for Ole Miss, it was 8.5. Where kind of are you on the Rebels, and what makes you bullish about them? What gives you some you know, causes for concern, all that kind of stuff, as Ole Miss readies to open this thing up on Saturday?
Well, there's a lot to be excited about. I think Ole Miss is going to be good. I'm tempering, like, and I'm coming from the gambling, like, you know, this is not as an Ole Miss fan. This is the gambling perspective I'm giving you, so I'm going to tell it to you straight. Obviously love Austin Simmons, think he's going to be a superstar. The only concern I have with him is he's still very young. He hadn't started a college game. I know he's mature. I know he graduated 10 years quicker than I did, and I respect that. But, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of good this year with Simmons. I think he's going to emerge, especially second half of the year, but he is still young. And so I'm trying to, like, you know, as excited as I am about him, I think he's going to be a superstar. It's just he's still very young. So I think there's going to be way more good than bad, but he's still good. This is going to be a growing year. As far as looking at the rest of the offense, I think the receiving core is so deep and so loaded. Walker Jones, the head of collective, looked me in the eye at the Ole Miss baseball regional and said this is the deepest receiving core we've ever had. And I was like, man, I don't know. That AJ, DK, Van Jefferson, and Lodge was pretty damn deep. But feel really good about the depth of the pass catching. You know, offensive line-wise, I know it was up and down last year. You know, feel like we got a pretty good top five, top six. I know we got some injuries and stuff, but, you know, staying healthy there I think is going to be a super key. I like Logan Diggs. I thought he was LSU's best running back 2 years ago. Hopefully he's back to health. I think Daquan Wright could have a huge year at tight end. He's super athletic. He's a matchup nightmare. We saw him come, you know, really emerge down the stretch. And so, I'm excited about the Ole Miss offense. The only thing would be it's just the offensive line has to stay healthy, because if that becomes a problem, that's going to affect everything, like what we saw last year. My question on the Ole Miss thing, look, that defense last year wasn't just great. It was historically great. It was freaking top three in the country. It was the best defense I've ever seen Ole Miss have. There's a ton of talent on this defense this year. I'm not hating on it, but there's going to be some regression. I mean, literally, Ole Miss had, like, the best defense in the country last year. So then my question is, are we talking about falling to, like, top 15, top 20, or are we falling to top 30, top 40? And, you know, I look at Perkins off the edge, the superstar. He's an All-American. Tons of young defensive line talent because of how well they've recruited. I think Xavion Harris is a beast in the middle. Linebacker depth looks good. On the back end, replacing Trey Amos is tough. I'm excited about Fletcher from South Alabama. I like the ULM safety transfer, but still a lot of transition there. So I think the defense will be good. I don't know if it's going to be great like it was last year. So, I mean, I like Ole Miss this year, but I got people wanted to kill me on Twitter when I said 8-4 and top 25 because the expectations have changed so much for this program. But I think 8 or 9 wins, Simmons emerges, and then we're building for a huge 2026 and 27. And I think that would be a successful year. I think the big thing this year is you can't go 7-5 or 6-6 and lose your program momentum.
That's 100% where I'm at. I could see 8-4 being a result for Ole Miss, but I think I've kind of talked myself into doing these shows, covering fall camp, being on the ground here in Oxford the entire month, that Ole Miss could have a almost identical kind of results year going 9-3, but go about it in a different way to where when you get to 9-3 this year and be in that playoff discussion, whether you get in or not, will be up to the rest of the field. Obviously, it's wide open this year in college football, but you'll feel differently about this 9-3 than you did last year's 9-3. Because 9-3,
I think when I look at like breaking down the Ole Miss schedule, it's basically two seasons. You get your first 5 games through LSU, then you got the bye before Washington State. So you got a 5-game season to start, and you got a 7-game season behind the bye. And the really concerning point of the schedule is at Georgia, at Oklahoma, back-to-back. Because that at Georgia game, we all know that's going to be tough as hell going back there, especially after Ole Miss beat the crap out of them last year in Oxford. And then it's just tough to have another SEC road trip behind a physical game against Georgia. It's kind of like the old saying, like, you know, the week after you used to play Saban's Alabama is tough. And so that part is tough. You know, I know Oklahoma wasn't great last year, but I like Mateer. That's a tricky game off the Georgia game. And so if you can go 1-1 in those two games, I think that's a success. And then the beginning part of the season, look, that Kentucky game, I mean, there's no more must-win game. I mean, you just after what happened last year, you have to win that at Kentucky game week 2. Ole Miss should win it. I think they will win it. But, like, I can't say enough how important that is, because if they somehow screwed that up and lost it, then things can kind of spiral.
Well, looking at the week one slate, like I mentioned earlier to start the show, man, it's absolutely loaded up. You could pick any number of games to start, but I think everybody, if we're really going to go through this, I kind of picked out the top 10 for me. You could add or subtract from this 10 list if you want to, but obviously for most everyone, it's going to be one of Texas or Ohio State, LSU, Clemson. I'd probably go with Texas and Ohio State because it's number one versus number three. According to BetMGM, Ohio State, the spread is Ohio State -2.5, over under at 47.5. Arch Manning's making his debut. He's the bell of the ball right now in college football, even though he has a resume very similar to Austin Simmons. Now, certainly a little bit more production, especially as a runner. But, this is a guy that's going to go through his ups and downs as well, unless he is the generational quarterback that Paul Feinbaum thinks he is. I just think that we need to let the guy have some room for mistakes and growth. But what do you kind of make out of that marquee matchup? The kickoff is on, I think it's Fox. Let me look it up.
Dave Portnoy on the Big Noon Fox, our new Borstal Fox.
Yeah, he got banned? Really? Like, they really are going to try to say he can't come? Come on now.
That's the softest thing I've ever seen. I mean, we had Brandon Walker on our campus last year, and it was great. You know, I think people are taking stuff a little too seriously. And I think it's ridiculous. I have a strong opinion on Texas Ohio State. I like Texas. I like Texas a lot. I'll tell you why. Ohio State's got two new coordinators. Chip Kelly's gone. They promoted Brian Hartline, who's a great receivers coach. We don't know how he's going to be his offensive coordinator. But my real beef with Ohio State is I think they made a terrible defensive coordinator hire. Jim Knowles was elite. He's at Penn State now. You hire Matt Patricia? What? You think Matt Patricia is going to be a good college defensive coordinator? He runs a real complex scheme. I think Ohio State's defense regresses off a terrible hire. Julian saying young quarterback talented, but still, he hadn't been in the system more than a year. Arch has been in that system 2.5 years. We know the Mannings are patient if nothing else. And I think Texas goes in and wins this game by like 7 to 10 points. I feel good about Texas in this game. Too much transition to Ohio State.
It's easy to get to fall in love with Ohio State off of last year, obviously. And then Jeremiah Smith's the best player in college football. But you make some valid points in regards to all the change for Ohio State. And I don't think I disagree with you. I think I'm like right there with you about Matt Patricia. What a weird fit that was, right? Like,
yeah, losing Knowles, him leaving for Penn State, a rival. That was just a whole weird deal. But Knowles was super elite. And I don't like the Patricia thing. And look, Ohio State's going to be a very good football team. I'm not saying they're not, but there's just so much turnover here from last year. And I think Arch is, you know, like I said, after 2.5 years in the system, I think he's going to be ready to go. So I actually, Texas plus 2.5 in money line, I will be betting on Saturday.
Where are you on the whole Arch discussion? And has he been crowned too soon by some, or do you think that he deserves that kind of recognition to start?
I mean, you know, if his last name wasn't Manning, it would be different, obviously. Yeah. I mean, I'm super excited about him. I mean, yeah, I'm not ready to hand him the Heisman Trophy before he really, you know, starts his third college football game or whatever. But I think he's going to be really good, and I think his mobility adds a lot. I also think it's a crime against humanity that he sat behind Quinn Ewers all year last year. I mean, seventh-round pick out of the Dolphins. Like, what the hell are they doing? And that's just so crazy to me that Arch didn't play over him, and I think it might have cost him a shot at a national championship, to be honest. But I think he's going to be really good. I'm not saying Heisman, but, you know, I really like what Sarkisian's done with that program. The thing with Texas, they used to be soft all the time. I mean, they only have one O-lineman go in the NFL draft for like 14 years. Now they're really tough at the line of scrimmage. They're good up front on defense. And, you know, they lost that playoff game to Ohio State. It's a revenge game. I think they go in. I think they get it done. And I think they do it by 7-10. I think they win pretty convincingly.
LSU at Clemson Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Looking up the line, spread is Clemson -4, over under 57.5. What's the breakdown there?
Man, this one's tough to pick. I actually think Clemson wins this game. I could see them winning close around what the point spread is. You know, we've seen all the LSU week one problems. They haven't won a week one game since 2019. They've lost 5 in a row. And this may be the hardest one they've had at the other Death Valley in a night game. Cade Klubnik, you know, really came on strong. They made the playoffs last year. Clemson is two of the best defensive players in the country. And I do think LSU is going to be really good this year because they finally fixed their collective and their NIL, and they spent a bunch of money to fix their defense. But I just think this is a tough spot. And I think Clemson wins, you know, by 3, by 4, something like that. And then what we'll see is everybody freaking out about LSU losing a week one game again, but I really don't think it's that big a deal. Like, I think Clemson's just a really, really good team. But I think this ought to be a super entertaining matchup. The LSU, the Legion of Zoom receiving core this year is going to be special. They got 5 guys running under a 4-4, but I don't know about their running game. They got a lot of new pieces on defense. So this is a tough one, week one.
And that's the thing. I could look back at this game, like LSU losing this game and then finishing the year with only 1 or 2 losses. I think they could end up being that good. I mean, there's some real questions about LSU, but I think this is a team in the SEC that certainly, if you're trying to pick the contenders, they're among those.
Yeah, no, and I think there's a gambling value. I'm actually looking for LSU to lose this game and then maybe buy in on them to win the SEC when the odds change next week, because I think the key game for them is Florida at home week 3. Because if you lose that, then the season really unravels, especially in Death Valley. But I could see a world where they drop this one and then they beat Florida and they get it rolling.
Notre Dame at Miami Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. The spread there, I don't think I have it in front of me. I'd have to look at it.
I think it's Notre Dame by 2.5 and 49.5 on the draft.
Yeah. So, what do we think of that one?
Man, so Notre Dame has a horrible history playing down there. I mean, like, it's really, really bad. So I think Notre Dame might be a little bit of a trap bet at 2.5. But on the Miami side, look, Cam Ward was a lead. I mean, he was the number one pick in the draft. And when you look at that team last year, I mean, they couldn't stop anybody. They went 10-2 just because they outscored people. Their defense is atrocious. Carson Beck, I don't really know what to think. I wasn't the biggest on him at Georgia. I think it's a pretty big downgrade from Ward to Beck. My actual thoughts on this game were I leaned the under, but it opened at 53 or 54, and now it's down to 49.5. So I feel like I missed the party. But I got no play on the Notre Dame spread. I still slightly like the under, but, you know, the fact that it's moved 3.5 points, I'm not the most happy about.
What do we make of Notre Dame this year? Do we believe them to be a true contender? I know they got some legitimate questions, especially at quarterback.
Yeah, CJ Carr hyped up, Lloyd Carr's grandson. You know, we'll see. I mean, it was a quarterback battle.
We're so old, Mincy. We're so Lloyd Carr's grandson. We're so
the fact
old.
He's playing for Notre Dame, too, is Lloyd being the all-time Michigan guy.
Right.
But, man, the thing about Notre Dame is that when they're in those close games, I just believe Marcus Freeman's going to pull them out. I mean, he's got a swagger and a moxie. And, you know, we saw last year they made that run to the national championship winning all those close games. He's just like that coach you just believe is going to get it done. And you can say the exact opposite about Mario Cristobal. They blow one or two games every year they never should lose. So, like I said, I don't have a play on the spread. I do think this is like a 23-20 kind of grinding game. Notre Dame's breaking in a new quarterback. You know, their style with Freeman, they like to run the ball. They're not really wide open. And with Carson Beck being a first game, all new weapons, I don't think we're going to be seeing Miami scoring 45 points like they were with Cam Ward last year. So I'm still going under, but not as big because the line moved.
Alabama at Florida State Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Central Time. The spread on that game is Alabama minus 13.5, over-under is 50.5. Give me the scenario where Florida State either covers or actually makes this interesting.
The scenario is because Gus Malzahn's their OC now, and they've got a mobile quarterback in Thomas Castellanos from Boston College who can really run. And so can Malzahn scheme up that mobile quarterback running game that gives Bama fits in the game? That's the only way. That's literally it. But we've seen Malzahn give Bama problems, obviously, from his Auburn days. You know he's going to be fired up for it. This one's the Bama thing is interesting because people are down on them. Their defense obviously was going to regress post Saban. Ty Simpson starting. Maybe the thought is he fits better in Kalen DeBoer's pro style system. Milroe didn't really fit in that system that we saw Jake Haener do well at Fresno and Penix at Washington. I'm actually kind of leaning over here, over 50.5. I'm kind of buying that Castellanos can run for some yards here and cause Bama's defense a little bit of fits because, you know, Malzahn hadn't shown what this Florida State offense is going to look like. And Kalen DeBoer, say what you will about him, great offensive coach. They got Ryan Grubbs, who was his offensive coordinator at Washington. He wasn't there last year because he coached for Seattle. I think he's a really good OC. So I'm kind of leaning over here in Bama, Florida State. The spread thing, I don't know, because Bama could beat them by 40 or Florida State could fight. Neither would surprise me.
Ole Miss fans, football is back. And there's only one place to make picks and win money all season long, Underdog. Playing on Underdog is easy. Simply pick whether your favorite players in any sport will go higher or lower on stats. For Ole Miss, that's touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Think Ole Miss quarterback Austin Simmons will go over or under 2.5 passing touchdowns in his debut against Georgia State. I'm thinking he gets at least 3 in a Rebel rout to start the 2025-26 campaign. Could Ole Miss great and Philadelphia Eagle A.J. Brown go over 0.5 combined rushing and receiving touchdowns in the NFL opener against the Dallas Cowboys? Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as $1. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See UnderdogFantasy.com for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
But we're not expecting Florida State to shock anybody with
that. No, I don't think they could win. But, you know, they could fight and lose by 10 or 13, and it wouldn't shock me.
Well, Castellanos has got a lot of backing up the talk he's got to do, too. You know, like, my man's – he's poked the bear a lot this offseason when it comes to Alabama in the opener. You know, it's like, my guy better go out there and show it from snap one and from down one because, man, they're going to be fired off at him, dude.
No doubt about it. And literally, it's all on his legs. I mean, he's not the best passer, but, you know, sometimes you see in college football, it's hard to defend that running quarterback. And he better be ready to run his butt off in this game because that's the only chance they're going to have.
Auburn at Baylor, the fight in Hugh Freeze's Friday at 7 p.m. Central Time. The line for that game, I'm looking that one up. You probably already know it off the top of your dome.
Auburn by 2.5.
I mean, this was so funny. It's like you already know. All right.
Oh, Auburn, I've been studying. It's week one.
Yeah.
I actually have kind of a strong opinion on this game. I smell a rat. I smell a big rat on this game. I think Auburn's a sucker bet. Baylor with Sawyer Robertson back, really good quarterback. Friday night home game, should have a good atmosphere. I think Auburn's a sucker bet here. Auburn's a 2.5-point road favorite that looked like a ratty line. I like Baylor in this game. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Jackson Arnold this year. It's interesting because, you know, he obviously had a bad year at Oklahoma, but they also didn't have an O-line or his top five receivers. So I don't know if you, like, blame that on Arnold or blame it on that situation. Auburn does have two elite receivers in Coleman and Singleton, the Georgia Tech transfer. But game one for Arnold in a new system on the road Friday night, that Baylor offense could really score last year, even if their defense fell off. I think Auburn's a sucker play here. I think Baylor's going to win this game.
And it's a matchup of two head coaches who really need to win this year, right? I mean, Dave Aranda needs to win. Hugh Freeze needs to win. I think both of them are feeling a little bit of pressure. So, like, starting off with that kind of matchup, I think, is kind of appropriate, right? I mean, both of those guys they need wins.
Yeah, and the other thing we all know as Ole Miss fans about Hugh Freeze, great underdog coach, gets his guys up for big games, pulls upsets, struggles in games like this they're supposed to win historically. You know, like, that's kind of – he's always been one of those guys where we'll pull some upsets, but, you know, the games they kind of expect to win can get a little hairy. So I'm taking Baylor plus 2.5 here. This is one of the games I'm taking.
The most egregious of those games was going to Memphis and Robert Kimdichie getting concussed as a short yardage running back fullback for Ole Miss. That's the one that I just will never, ever be able to process well. You know,
No doubt. But, like, yeah, but, I mean, we've seen it at Auburn too, you know. I mean, lost to New Mexico State 2 years ago. I mean, I don't know. That's just the Freeze thing, though. You know, like I said, he's historically a great underdog, but I don't know. I just feel like he's walking into one. Friday night should have a good atmosphere. Arnold in a new system against a team that has a lot of continuity. Baylor's defense really fell off last year, which is, you know, Aranda's a good defensive coordinator historically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a little weird and disappointing. But like I said, my instincts like Baylor here as a home underdog.
South Carolina sticking the SEC. South Carolina against Virginia Tech. It's a neutral site game in Atlanta Sunday, 2 p.m. Central Time. What do we make of South Carolina? Lenore Sellers, I'm a big believer in. Ole Miss went to South Carolina last year and whooped some tail, but then they became, the flavor of the week towards the end of the season when they got to 9-3. Some preferring them over Ole Miss despite that 24-point win that Ole Miss had at their place. What do you think about this game in South Carolina as a contender just in general this year with Lenore Sellers?
Okay, so I love Lenore Sellers. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a dynamic athlete. I also like him in this game because this game's on turf, which is going to make it even tougher for him to stop him in that running game. One thing about South Carolina's program historically, actually a little similar to Ole Miss, great underdog and struggles with expectations a lot. We've seen that in South Carolina. Like, they'll pull some upsets, but every time you think they're actually really going to be good, they disappoint. And they lost a lot of talent off that defense last year. They still have Dylan Sanders, the stud pass rusher, but they lost the second-round safety, who was a Cowboy. They lost the Wake Forest kid, who, like, was one of the SEC Defensive Players of the Year. So they're replacing a lot on D. So I'm a little hesitant. I think they can win 7 or 8, but I'm kind of not on their wagon this year. However, having said that, I don't think Virginia Tech's very good. They also got hit hard in the transfer portal. LSU took, like, their best 3 defensive players. And so I lean South Carolina here, but I hope to get it under 7. It's 7.5 right now, but I think Sellers is going to run a lot on that turf. And, you know, I just feel like Virginia Tech, like, what are they as a program right now? I feel like they're kind of rudderless.
I do too. I feel like they don't have an identity. We used to remember what, like, Virginia Tech when we were coming up, man. Like, they were always
Beamer
in the
ball.
Conversation. Yeah, Beamer ball. I mean, they were always in the conversation. Michael Vick at Virginia Tech was an institution. I mean, it's just, you're right. What we remember about Virginia Tech, that's not the same Virginia Tech. And I do agree. I think they're very much, like, identity-less right now.
Yeah, you know, and also can't forget Shane Beamer is, you know, his dad being the Virginia Tech legend. He don't want to lose to Virginia Tech.
No.
I mean, you know, this is a blood game for him growing up around that program.
TCU at North Carolina, Bill Belichick debuting as a head coach in college football Monday, 7 p.m. Central Time. What do we think of the matchup as I look at the lines, even though you're probably going to yell it out at me again? -3 for TCU, 58.5 is the over-under.
Well, so I really like Josh Hoover, TCU's quarterback. You know, I think he can really sling it. I think he's underrated. And I just, my instincts on this Carolina thing, think it's going to be a work in progress. You know, they lost to Marion Hampton, the Chargers' first-round pick, who's an elite running back. He's going to tear up the NFL, hint fantasy football. He's going to be really good. And there's just so much transition. And then also with Belichick, like, what's a Belichick college offense going to look like? I mean, hell if I know. You know, I don't know that he's going to know, like, the spread offense and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I know their defense will be improved just because he's on it. But I'm kind of hesitant on the Belichick thing this year. So I kind of lean TCU slightly. But the only thing with TCU, like, man, that's the most volatile – them and Auburn are the two most volatile programs in the nation, man. They can go 4-8 or they can play for the national championship. You never know what you're getting from them year to year. But just because they have a quarterback I like in the Belichick transition, I still lean TCU. I think – I'm not really buying into North Carolina being very good this year.
Number 24, Tennessee versus Syracuse in Atlanta. Tennessee minus 13.5, over under 50.5. I have no idea what I think of the Vols this year. I think they could – I mean, there's a wide range of outcomes for them, but for week one against Syracuse, who could be sneaky challenging even though now without their star quarterback. Yeah, McCord's gone. So, I mean, there's some questions for Syracuse, but I love Fran Brown. I think he's a great coach, man. I think he's going to have this team amped to play in Atlanta, going back to his former, home stomping grounds when he was an assistant at Georgia. Kind of what do you think of this matchup and just Tennessee in general going into the year?
Man, I'm not that big on Tennessee going this year, and I thought they overachieved the last year making the playoffs. They hadn't been the same since Alec Golish, the offensive coordinator, went to South Florida 2 years ago. The offense has really fallen off. I mean, they had that year with Hayden Hooker, had a shot at the Heisman a couple years ago, and they were just cooking. But, you know, Nico just got beat out at UCLA for the job by some random sophomore. So I don't think that's, like, necessarily a big loss. Joey Aguilar coming over from App State, you know, who the hell knows? On that front, Syracuse quietly won 10 games last year. I mean, they beat Miami. They won their bowl game. Kyle McCord had like a crazy year. This is supposed to be a little bit of a rebuilding year for them, but I still don't trust Tennessee laying 13 or 14 with all that offensive stuff. I know it's crazy. I mean, I don't have a strong read, to be honest. I was thinking maybe under, but the fact that the game's in Atlanta on turf always scares me when betting under. So probably going to sit back and watch this one, but I don't think Tennessee's the obvious slam dunk bet that people think.
What's the one bet that if you had to encourage anybody, like they come up to you, it's a quick, you know, shooting you a question as they're walking, passing by, go, oh, it's Mincy from Barstool. All right, I'm not going to bother you, friend, but just tell me, what's the one bet I make this weekend? What do you tell that person?
Well, man, I was telling everybody and their mother about this Notre Dame-Miami under 54 for, like, the last 2 months, and now the damn thing's 49.5. And so, like, it's like I still like it, but, like, I just – that was the one that I'd been all over for months, and now I hate it because the party's over with the dang thing moving that much because I've really been targeting that one. But, yeah, let's see. Other than that, I mean – I may be crazy, but my instincts do like that Baylor. I feel like Auburn's in a trap spot. But this week one thing, there's a lot of road, like Mississippi State's in a weird spot. Southern Miss has got half a Marshall Sun Belt winning championship team and a new coach. Like, I think Southern Miss plus 13.5 has a shot to fight them too. You know as well as I do as an Ole Miss fan, anytime Southern Miss gets Mississippi State or Ole Miss coming to Hattiesburg, you know what that means to that community. So I'm actually looking for Southern Miss to fight too, but I mean, I wouldn't say there's like necessarily a huge favorite one now that under in Notre Dame Miami's gone down.
I'm glad you brought up State and Southern Miss because that's a bit of conversation like at practice, talking to some media friends or out and about Oxford. I mean, that line there's a lot of people out there that truly believe that Southern Miss can cover. I mean, I don't think they're going to beat Mississippi State. And if they did beat Mississippi State, what a disaster that would be to start for Jeff Lebby and company. And they need to start off well. You know, it's going to be a hard year for them potentially. But like, regardless of that, I think like this is an ideal game. Like if you wanted to bet one that like they're going to play it close and it's going to be way more like Southern Miss, man. Like they half that team won a Sun Belt last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. No, and the thing is, we're living in a totally different era now where you can turn it around off the portal immediately.
That's right.
You know, you look at Southern Miss last year; they're obviously horrible. But man, you know, they've got half of a Sun Belt winning championship team. So, I mean, I think they're going to fight in this game. I lean Southern Miss in the points. The one thing on Mississippi State to watch, that Fluff Bothwell, that running back they got from South Alabama, is one of the best players in the Sun Belt, and I think he's going to be a stud for them this year.
Yeah, and I think right now he's number two in their depth chart, but Ole Miss wanted him in the portal really bad, and obviously very excited about Kewon Lacy, who's been leading their room all month, and Damian Taylor was actually the number two running back ahead of Logan Diggs in the last
Saturday.
Yeah, which is kind of like – but it makes a good point. The one thing that really held Ole Miss back last year – I mean, you can say what you want to about – you can nitpick certain spots, but really to a man, hey, Mincy, what held Ole Miss back last year?
The running game was just, yeah, especially after Parrish got hurt and the way they managed Bentley. And, I mean, obviously, we're watching Bentley just crushing in the Colts preseason. And, we started our number five receiver at running back, at Florida. Yeah, and that's rightfully on Twitter, Ole Miss fans still upset about that. And I can understand why, because I feel the same way.
I felt like I was crazy when I just respectfully ask Lane about the usage of Ulysses Bentley. People are like, oh, Ben, you're an idiot. But, like, it still doesn't make sense.
No. And they just put him in the LSU game, and he has a 50-yard touchdown run on 4th-and-1, like his first carry of the year. I don't know, man. And then the Mississippi State game, he runs forever. I need to get over it. It's a new year, but I'm still better.
It's over. It's done. The new year starts on Saturday, and Ole Miss is locked and loaded in the backfield. I think it had to do with something disciplinary that went down that is never going to be disclosed.
My only guess, the stuff that I would educate a guess, was Kevin Smith and Bentley, I don't think, had the best relationship.
There was something off in turn. I don't think it was performance-based particularly. But even though that's kind of what Lane, when he brought me into his office, laid it out like, it was purely performance thing, but that just doesn't wash when you continue to see him perform well. Wish him the best. Wish Ole Miss the best this year, because again, that running back room is so much better. It's not Ulysses Bentley if Henry Parrish gets hurt or bust, right? They go 3, 4, 5 deep even with Dominic Thomas, and they love what Shekhi Mills-Knight can be. Physically, he's there.
Big physical back.
Huge. He's huge. Also, Deuce McAllister's wide receiver of his son is coming on. That's another fun one that we'll have to talk about when Mincy comes later. I know, dude, let's go. But before we get to the end here, I wanted to get just your national champion pick, your Heisman pick, and where does Ole Miss go bowling?
Okay. All right. Man, I can't believe I'm saying this is going to happen for the third year in a row, but I'm going with Penn State this year just because they got everybody. They got everybody back, and you heard me talk about Jim Knowles. I just think he's one of the best physical coordinators in the country. And so I'll go Penn State over between Texas or Clemson. I'll go over Texas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but the other people are considering Clemson with their continuity. I think they're going to be really good. I am big on LSU this year. I don't know about make the national championship, but I think they're going to win 10 and go to the playoffs. But I'm going to go with Penn State, which is terrible. We're going to live in a world with freaking 3 straight Big Ten champs if this happens. I hope I'm wrong. But the SEC is just wide open again. Everybody's going to beat everybody.
Who's your Heisman pick?
Man, I'm going to get no friends on this podcast from this, but I'm going with Nussmeier from LSU, just because I believe that receiving core is like getting Barry and Brown from Kentucky, along with Aaron Anderson, who was a stud last year, and Nick Anderson, who could has first round pick potential, and Trey Des Green at tight end, and man, they are just absolutely stacked, and I think Nussmeier is going to chunk for just a ton of yards for LSU this year.
I'm just glad you didn't say Arch. I'm just, it was nice to go in a different direction. Everybody else wants he's the flavor of the week or the flavor of college football preseason. So Nuss is a perfectly logical choice. All right, now where is Ole Miss going bowling to wrap this thing up?
I'm gonna be optimistic and say 9. Like I said, it's 8-4, 9-3. I'll say 9-3. I'll say the whatever they call the Citrus Bowl now that's in Orlando that Bama played Michigan in. That's what I'm gonna pick.
I love that pick. It means also that Ole Miss will be in the playoff discussion. And every week, Ben Mintz of Barstool Sports will be here with me to walk along this journey for Ole Miss football, which starts on Saturday against Georgia State. I'll be there 6:45 p.m. Central Time on SEC Network. The Rebels are back finally, game week has arrived after a full month of fall camp. I know Mincy, if you can't tell, is certainly excited about week one. And thank you for doing this, my friend. I appreciate you. If you don't follow Ben Mintz on Twitter, on Barstool, you're missing out. One of my favorite people in this business. You're the man, and we'll talk again next week.
Yeah, I got one last thing to add that I got to mention on the pod for the supporters.
Yes.
So people have been following me for a while. I mean, it's been the health journey has been a long and winding road. But I'm really crushing it in 2025. I'm running, I can't believe I'm saying this because I was 300 pounds 5 years ago, but I'm running the Chicago Marathon full thing on October 12th. I'm running it for Paws Chicago, which is an awesome rescue dog charity. You know, I know everybody loves dogs and cats, especially ones that don't have homes.
And it's National Dog Day today.
Yeah. So I'm going to drop a fundraising link. Like I said, I hate hoarding people for money, but even if you chipping $5, it's going to a great cause. And I promise that this is the only time in my life I'm going to run a marathon. And the effort that's coming on October 12th, like, I mean, this is I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's one of the most important things I've ever done. I can't believe I'm doing it. So asking for some support here.
I'm proud of you. You look great, feel great. Doing big, big things for Barstool. You've been a friend for a long time, man. I'm so thankful for you, and we'll do it again.
All right. Thanks, as always. Appreciate you having me, Ben.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.